Balak said to Balaam, "Do not curse them at all and do not bless them at all." But Balaam answered Balak, "Did I not tell you all that the Lord says that I must do?" And Balak said to Balaam, "Come now, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them from me there." So Balaam took Balak to the top of Peor, which overlooks the desert. And Balaam said to Balak, "Build for me here 7 altars and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams." And Balak did what Balaam had said and offered a ram and a bull and a ram on each altar. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go, as at other times, to look for omens, but set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camping tribe by tribe. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up his discourse and said, "The oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of a man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down with his eyes uncovered. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel, like palm groves that stretch afar, like gardens beside a river, like aloes that the Lord has planted, like cedar trees beside the waters. Water shall flow from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt, and is for him like the horns of a wild ox. He shall eat up the nations, his adversaries, and shall break their bones in pieces, and pierce them through with his arrows. He crouched, he lay down like a lion, and like a lioness, who will rouse him up? Blessed are those who bless you, and cursed are those who curse you." And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, "I called you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have blessed them these 3 times. Therefore now flee to your own place. I said, I will certainly honor you, but the Lord has held you back from honor." And Balaam said to Balak, "Did I not tell your messengers whom you sent to me, if Balak should give me his house full of silver and gold, I would not be able to go beyond the word of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own will. What the Lord speaks, that will I speak. And now behold, I am going to my people. Come, I will let you know what this people will do to your people in the latter days." And he took up his discourse and said, "The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of a man whose eye is open, the oracle of him who hears the words of God, who knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. Edom shall be dispossessed, Seir also, his enemies shall be dispossessed. Israel is doing valiantly, and one from Jacob shall exercise dominion and destroy the survivors of cities." Then he looked on Amalek and took up his discourse and said, "Amalek was the first among the nations, but its end is utter destruction." And he looked on the Kenite and took up his discourse and said, "Enduring is your dwelling place, and your nest is set in the rock. Nevertheless, Cain shall be burned when Asher takes you away captive." And he took up his discourse and said, "Alas, who shall live when God does this? But ships shall come from Kittim and shall afflict Asher and Eber, and he too shall come to utter destruction." Then Balaam rose and went back to his place, and Balak also went his way. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, last time we were introduced to Balak and Balaam. Remember, kids, those two names that sound very, very similar. Balak was the king, and Balaam was the prophet, was the seer. And we looked last time at how Balaam had that interaction with his donkey. God teaching him that Balaam must do only what God says. Well, tonight, we really see the completion of that story. Balak called Balaam to curse God's people. Now it is time to actually pronounce that curse. We will see that Balak asked for a curse, but Balaam would give a blessing. And as we look at the words of those blessings, we see how they reflect God's faithfulness to his own promises to care for and bless his people. And as Israel was blessed as the people of God, so too are we today, a people blessed by God. Blessings in the Old Testament to Israel, blessings now upon the New Testament church today. So we're going to look at these four oracles of Balaam, these oracles given to see the blessing for Israel, but also the blessing for us. The first oracle, chapter 23, verse 1, and Balaam said to Balak, build for me here 7 altars, prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said. And Balak and Balaam offered on each altar a bull and a ram. And Balaam said to Balak, stand here beside your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you. They build these altars, they offer the bulls, they offer the rams. What I find so interesting is throughout this story, as they do this again and again, it's as if God completely ignores all that. Look at verse 4. And God met Balaam, and Balaam said to him, I have arranged the 7 altars. I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, now do what I tell you to do. God doesn't even take account of what Balaam and Balak has done to say, look, I am the one who's in control. I am the one who's in charge here. I am the one who will have you bring the word that I want you to bring. You are not coercing me, but I am telling you how I want you to bless my people. And that's exactly what happens. Verse 7, from Aram, Balak has brought me, the king of Moab from the eastern mountains. Come, curse Jacob for me. Come, denounce Israel. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? It's not up to Balak. It's not even up to Balaam. But God is reminding them that he is the one in control, and he is the one who will bring blessing or curse as appropriate. God is the one who is going to, through Balaam, bring a blessing to his people. That blessing is mentioned in verse 9. From the rooftop, from the top of the crags, I see him. From the hills, I behold him. A people dwelling alone, not counting itself among the nations. A people dwelling alone. In other words, a singular people, a special people, a people set apart from all of the nations. This is the people of God. The people that he has chosen to be his very own, those with whom he has made covenant, saying, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And in light of that covenant God has made, he will bring blessing upon his chosen. It was not that they sought out God, but he sought them out. They are the chosen people of God. Verse 10, who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? A people blessed, a people, a multitude. Who can count them? What was the blessing made to Abraham? Your descendants will be like the stars of the sky, like the sands of the seashore. No one can count beyond what is possible. God is faithful to his word to Abraham as he brings this blessing now through Balaam to his people. God's blessing. In fact, the oracle includes this.
Let me die the death of the upright. Let my end be like his. Balaam says, I want to be like them. They will be so blessed like God. Oh, that I could be with them and die like them, because God has blessed them. A people chosen, a people set apart from the nations. God's blessing to his people Israel, but also God's blessing to his church today. We are a people chosen by God. It was not that we took the initiative and we sought out God and he condescended to hear us, to come down to us. No, God sought us out. God found us, grabbed onto us, and made us his own. We're a people chosen by God simply for his good pleasure. And God gives that blessing to his church. You've been chosen. You are mine. My covenant blessing now rests upon you. Oh, that we might die in the people of God and know the blessing of the righteous. God's glorious church, living under his blessing. What a joy to be a part of that covenant people. What a joy to be a part of that people blessed by God, chosen by him. Well, Balak is not happy, verse 11. Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you've done nothing but bless them. But Balak will not be deterred. Verse 13, Balak said to him, please come with me to another place of which you may see them. You shall only see a fraction of them and shall not see them all. Then curse them from there for me. So they go on to another place. And once again, this ritual of the altars and the offerings. And Balaam gives his oracle. Verse 18. Rise, Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do so? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I received a command to bless. He is blessed, and I cannot revoke it. He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor seen trouble in Israel. The Lord is, our God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. God is with his people. This is the blessing. God would dwell with his people Israel. That was the whole point of the tabernacle. It was just about 2 years ago, we studied the tabernacle together and all these various ornaments and things that all pointed to God dwelling in the midst of his people. That's the blessing. God dwells in their midst, the king dwelling among them. And having that king in their very presence, the people themselves are then confident that this is the blessing of God. He will care for them. Verse 23, there's no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel. Now it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what has God wrought? The king dwells with his people. They are assured, they are confident, they know that they will stand. Not because they're so great, but because God, their God, is with them. God dwells with his people to give them assurance, to give them confidence. And just as God dwelt in the midst of his people Israel, God dwells in the midst of his church. He still dwells with his people. Oh, that took a very real and physical form. When Jesus Christ came down from the glories of heaven and literally dwelt in the midst of his people. But we know that Jesus went back into heaven, but he didn't leave us alone. He still dwells in our midst by the power of his Holy Spirit, dwelling in the church, dwelling in the midst of God's people. We are here tonight in the presence of a holy God. God, by His Spirit, lifts us up that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is here. I sometimes think we forget that as we come to worship in the very presence of God. Sometimes people will say, you know, I just feel like God is far from me. I feel like God has forgotten me. And I will say, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but with a real sense of truth as well, if you feel like God is far from you, then come to church, because this is where God dwells. He dwells in the midst of His people. If you are feeling afraid, if you are feeling anxious, if you are feeling nervous, come and be with the people of God, for here God dwells in our midst to give us assurance, to give us confidence, to instruct us by His holy word, to instruct us how we should live in a way that brings glory and honor to Him, to have confidence in our lives. God's blessing upon His people. Well, once again, Balak is not happy, verse 25. And Balak said to Balaam, "Do not curse them at all, do not bless them at all." In other words, be quiet, just stop. Just don't say anything. Balak goes on, verse 27. Balak said to Balaam, this guy is no brain trust, by the way. Balak said to Balaam, "Come now, I'll take you to another place. Let's try again." Two times already he's asked for a curse and gotten a blessing. Well, let's just go someplace else and see if we can't try one more time. And what happens? Balaam gives the oracle. Chapter 24, verse 3. "The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of a man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel, like palm groves that stretch afar, like gardens beside a river, like aloes the Lord has planted, like cedar trees beside waters. Water shall flow from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted." God's people, blessed once again. He sees them in their tents and their encampments. And remember where they are. They are on their way to the promised land. They have not gotten there yet. They have not yet entered into Canaan and been settled there. But Balaam gives this oracle, an oracle of trees and gardens and groves. He speaks the blessing to them as if they were already there. That promise that they would absolutely enter the land God was to give to them. They would be no longer wanderers in the desert as they had been throughout the book of Numbers. They will be a landed people, a people with a place, a people with a land, a people with a home that is glorious and blooming and growing. This is the oracle. You will be blessed by God when He gives you the land He has promised to you. Israel was blessed with a land. The church today has that same blessing of God. The church is a landed people. That land is not a strip of land in the Middle East. What is the land to which the church belongs today? That land is the whole earth. 24, the earth, Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God's church is a worldwide church. It's a church throughout the nations around the globe. God has said, "Ask me, I will give you the nations as your inheritance." The church spans the globe. A landed people, a people who belong and who have a place And what great hope that gives us. Because this heavens and earth will be renewed to the new heavens and the new earth. This is preparing us for what is to come. And that is so certain that we can speak of it as if it's already here. God has given the promise and God will fulfill the promise. All of his people, each and every one, will dwell in that promised land, the new heavens and the new earth. God will be a blessing to his people. Once again, Balak responds, verse 10, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And they have this conversation, why are you doing this? And Balaam finally says, look, you're going to hear my words whether you want to or not. And Balaam gives his final oracle, verse 15 of chapter 24. The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of a man whose eye is open, the oracle of him who hears the words of God, who knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. This is an oracle which looks toward the promise of a coming king, a star to rise, a scepter to rise. Now again, remember where we are. This is years before the kingship would be established. They haven't even entered Canaan yet. But Balaam sees this oracle that will be a blessing for the people of God. There will be a ruler. There will be a king. A scepter will rise. That was initially fulfilled in the Davidic kingship. David, a man after God's own heart, set apart to rule God's people righteously, to rule them justly, and to expand the kingdom. He speaks then these last couple parts of the oracle. To Amalek, they'll be destroyed, and to the Kenites, they'll be destroyed. Nothing will stand in the way of God's people. He will give them a king, they will be a ruled people, and their kingdom will advance and be blessed. That was the blessing of the oracle through Balaam. God fulfilled that oracle in a most amazing and powerful way for his church. We have a king, not a human king, a king greater than David. We have the King of Kings, the star from Jacob, the scepter from Israel. God himself provided the king in his son, Jesus Christ. We read Psalm 72 tonight, a psalm of Solomon, but it speaks beyond Solomon. It speaks of the coming of the true King, Jesus Christ, the one who was the absolute victor for his people. Not a victor over the Amalekites or the Kenites or whoever it might be, but a victor over sin and death and hell itself. The victor who, in whose victory we are given life, we are given blessing. We are brought into this blessed people, this ruled people, the people of God, a people blessed. What a joy to belong. What a privilege to count the church as our home and to live under God's favor and the kingship of Jesus Christ, a people blessed by God. Not only his people in the Old Testament, not only Israel. This text looks forward to the true people of God, the spiritual Israel, God's church, a church that is chosen by God himself. A church where God dwells by the power of his Spirit to give assurance, to give confidence. A church that's given a land, this world, to see Christ's kingship advance more and more. And a church ruled by a heavenly king even now sitting on his throne, ruling and reigning. What a blessing, what a joy to be a people blessed by God. And tonight, once again, God calls. He calls to those who do not yet know that blessing, that if they would but put their faith in that one true King, Jesus Christ, then they too would be brought in, the nations coming in to this glorious, majestic people, the people of God. He calls you tonight to put your faith and hope and confidence in him, to follow our glorious King, and to know what it is to be that people blessed by a glorious God. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we praise you for your work throughout history, for calling a people to be your very own. We know in the Old Testament that was the people of Israel. But in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, that kingdom expanded to every tribe and language and people and nation, and all who confess him are brought in and experience that blessing of belonging to you. Well, Lord God, may we never seek to praise you for all that you have done for us. We know it was not because we were looking for you, not because we were seeking you, but you came to us and you chose us and you made us your own. And beyond that, oh God, you blessed us in so many ways. We thank you for the kingship of Jesus Christ. May we see his rule advance more and more in our lives as we give ourselves in service to you. Hear us, oh God, for we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together from number 421. Number 421, Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. We're going to sing all four verses, 421. Let's stand together as we sing.
receive the parting blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.